Start out in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Peter gets a golden opportunity at Pentecost, and he seizes that golden opportunity, and he preaches him the message, and in verse 32 he says, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses." Now they knew what he was talking about. They had put Jesus Christ to death, they thought. And Peter says, "Oh no, Jesus is alive. God has raised him up." Chapter 3, verse 26. "Unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities." Jesus is alive. He has conquered death. Chapter 4, verse 10. "Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole." Acts chapter 4, verse 33, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Acts chapter 5, verse 30. Death has been conquered. Why is that so important? One of the most favorite clubs of the devil, in fact, one of his most effective clubs, is the fear of death. The fear of death. Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." When you are afraid of death, you are bound. And the devil uses that club like crazy. He'll get you to ignore death. Won't pay any attention to it. Try to ignore it, but you can't. It's way in the back of your mind. You're going to die and you don't want to die. You go on a massive campaign to stave off the signs of it. You get operations to take away the wrinkles. You pile on the junk to get rid of all the signs of old age. You get those brown spots all over your hands that indicate you're starting to get old and you want to get rid of those. You try to ignore the signs of the end. But beloved, we're going to die. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're afraid of it. Or maybe he gets those who don't know Christ to glorify death. They become, you know, sickeningly preoccupied with it. Even some of the existentialists think that's the ultimate way to self-authenticate yourself, is to die. Some big sweeping deal. Or maybe you think, well, okay, I'm going to die. What's going to happen afterwards? You begin to go on a massive works campaign to guarantee yourself some kind of immortality. But the good news is that Jesus has conquered death. Remember the Apostle Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians? He says, "Oh, grave, where is your victory?" How do you answer that? You whisper back and you say, "It's buried in the heart of Jesus. Ain't no victory in the grave. Jesus Christ has conquered it." And that's good news. And you ought to look in the eye of that pagan you're sharing with, that pagan you work with, that you live next door to, and you ought to tell him that Jesus has conquered death. Children of God never die. That's part of the message. Another part of that good news is forgiveness of sin and the removal of guilt. I don't know, probably none of you have ever been burdened with guilt or the knowledge of sin. Used to eat me up. Used to hate myself for lying. and everything be going along just rosy, and I'd be walking on cloud nine, and my girlfriend thought I was the greatest thing going, you know, Mr. Tall, Tan, and Terrific. And at the wrong time, I'd be talking to her, and then some rotten thought would pop back into my mind that I'd had before, and it just blew the mood, just ate me up, and I knew what kind of a guy I was. I wasn't Tall, Tan, and Terrific. I was old Dirty, Rotten Lewis. And until I knew Jesus Christ, there was nothing to do with it. I could write all the resolutions I wanted. I could try to live the straight and narrow, but I was hung up in my sin. And I could go to church and get a Sunday school pin for attendance, do the whole routine, but I couldn't get rid of that sin, and I couldn't get rid of that guilt, and it ate me up. And I got a sneaking hunch that it was the same way in your life. Or it could be the same way if you don't know Jesus. And there just may be somebody here who snuck in and doesn't know the Savior. Maybe the weekend won't end up that way for you, though. Because there's good news in Christ. He's conquered death, and there's forgiveness of sin. When you were a kid, maybe you learned the chorus. Gone, 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 yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free, and in my heart's a song. Buried in the deepest sea, that's where they are. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed my transgressions from me. He took them and stuck them behind His back. And He never, 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 never brings them up. When they do come back, it is the devil who's bringing them up. And all I got to do is ignore that critter and thank Jesus Christ for forgiving me. Forgiveness of sin. That's good news, beloved. Freedom from guilt. That's good news. A lot of folk want to hear that one. I sat down with a fella just before I moved to Norfolk. He'd been married about maybe 9 years, and he was ready to flush his marriage because of sin before he got married. And it had destroyed his marriage. It destroyed the relationship with his wife. He couldn't even look his oldest son in the eye. Couldn't stand to touch him or hug him. Sin was eating him up. And the guilt, the knowledge of that sin was destroying him and his wife. So my message was, good news, brother. There is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And there's the removal of guilt. I mean, you place your confidence in Him and you invite Him to be the Savior and the Lord of your life. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, your sins are gone. That's good news. That is very good news. What a shout that one from the highest mountain. Forgiveness in Jesus Christ. That ought to turn you on. There's one other aspect of good news. Freedom. Jesus has conquered death. That's good news. He's forgiven us of sin and He's removed the guilt. And then He says you can be free. Turn to the book of John, chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 30. And as He spake these words, many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There is freedom in Jesus Christ. There's freedom to be me, to be myself. I don't have to try to be like anybody. I can just be me. I'm a unique creation. Whether you like it or not, or whether you agree with me, man, I'm unique. God looks down here and He says, that's mine. He says he's the God of Bob Lewis. That turns me on. The God who wired this whole universe together says he's the God of Bob Lewis. I can be free. I can be Bob Lewis. I can be free to enjoy life. I can be free to enjoy you. To really enjoy you. The way God's made you unique. With all of your problems. With all of your heartache. With all of your joy. I can enjoy you. I can be free to enjoy my wife. To really enjoy her. To enjoy my kids. To enjoy the process of living. I can be free to give up my freedom. And beloved, that turns me on. Yep, I can be free to give up my freedom. Remember Paul said, I've made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. Only a free man can do that. Slaves can't do that. And if you're bound up in sin, you can't do that. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you can't do that. But if you know the Son of God as your Savior and Lord, and you're free, you can give up your freedom. You can make yourself a slave. That's real freedom. Serve others. And the Son of God leaves His glory in heaven and He came down here. That's real freedom. And He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. To let Himself be touched by sin and wickedness, evil abounding, and to serve and serve and serve and serve and serve. That's real freedom. And that's good news. That is really good news. Freedom to serve others. And then one other aspect of the message, there's purpose. Good news about the eternal purpose of life. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 11, it says that God has created within every man a sense of eternity. In the Amplified, it says, a divinely appointed sense of purpose working through the ages which nothing under the sun but only God can satisfy. In the heart of every man is a hunger, a craving, a yearning, a desire for eternity. And only Jesus Christ can satisfy that desire for eternity, that sense of destiny, that sense of eternal purpose. And it can be satisfied in Christ. Outside of Christ, it will be unfulfilled. He will be frustrated. He will never be filled to overflowing. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Outside of Christ, everything you do is straw, wood, hay, and stubble. But in Christ, everything you do, has an eternal purpose. Remember that song, if just a cup of water, just a cup of water offered in the name of Christ, has an eternal value. Beloved, the implication of that is wild. You're in Christ. You have freedom from death. You have freedom from sin and the guilt attendant with sin. Freedom to be you. And you have an eternal purpose of life. Everything you do has significance in the mind of God as you walk with Him. If you are a plumber, that has eternal significance in the mind of God. If you're a politician, that has eternal significance in the mind of God. You say, oh, Bob, what about making disciples? What about the Great Commission? That's part of our lifestyle, beloved. And you can make disciples as a plumber. And you can make disciples as a politician. I had an Air Force captain come up to me a while back, and he was kind of frustrated about what to do with his life. He didn't want to stay in the Air Force, and he wanted to be a doctor. He said, well, I said, well, man, go to medicine, you know, medical school. Oh, you can't, Bob. You can't make disciples and be a doctor. Well, babe, tell you what. Why don't you and I kneel right here and we'll say, God, you sure made a mistake with Luke, and we're going to tear the book of Luke out of the Bible in the book of Acts, because that bird wasn't a disciple maker. Well, he thought that was kind of funny, too. I got a sneaking hunch that Paul wouldn't have associated with Luke had Luke not been a disciple maker, huh? And we'll talk about some of that stuff later. Eternal purpose. Life begets life. The content of our message is extremely important. Extremely important. Children of God never die. My sins are gone. I am free and I'm a man of destiny. Now, why do I proclaim that message? That's the content of my message, but why do I do it? Because of the need of the heathen? There are 3.5 billion people in the world today. Good chunk of those people are heathen. Unbelievers, infidels. Do I carry the gospel out there because they need to hear it? Because of their need? I don't see that in the scriptures. Need's got nothing to do with it. I carry it out there because Jesus said to take it. He says, preach the good word. Take the message out. If He's the sovereign of the universe, if He's the Lord of the universe, then I only have one response to that command. And that's, yes, sir. Heels together, yes, sir. If that's not my response, I can't call Him my Lord, can I? One thing you can't say to Jesus is you cannot say, no, Lord. It's a contradiction. You can say no, or you can say Lord. But you can't say no, Lord. And He says, take the message out. Take the message out. How do you take the message out? Two ways. I take it out by life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. The Texans say he's a new critter. His lifestyle, my lifestyle, is supposed to be radically different. I am supposed to be a little Christ. That's what the word Christian means, little Christ. There should be something about my life, there should be something about your life that smacks of the supernatural. There should be something about our lives that should get under the skin of the people we associate with in a healthy sense. There should be something about our lives that arouses their curiosity. And that isn't the fact that we can stand on a piano with a Bible and lay the hot word on them. Or that we can corner them by the coffee cooler and lay the hot word on them. That'll, you know, get under their skin, I guarantee you. But probably the thing that will get under their skin for you men will be, you're such a hard worker. I mean, you really work hard. And not only do you work hard, but you do good work. You put out a quality product. And you do it under all kinds of adverse circumstances. I talked to a man a while back who told me about his dad getting beat up on the assembly line in Detroit. And the reason his dad got pounded on was because his dad wouldn't sabotage some of the cars going on the line. He was doing too good a work. So the union boys got him aside one day and pounded him a good one. Told him to knock it off. So he got out of the hospital, he went back to work. And he continued to work the same way. And they put him in again. Now the guy's a pagan. He's got some principles about him. How many believers do you know who get beat up for the way they work? We're hot to get beat up for preaching the word or passing out tracts. Man, we're eager for that. But we're not so eager to get beat up for just being good workers, for serving our employer. serving our employer. We think there's something biblical about 40 hours a week. No more. I got the Great Commission, baby. I can't work more than 40 hours a week. I need to minister. I can't find it in the Bible. Serving our employer. If we served our employer more, we'd probably have a greater impact in the area in which we work. You want to read a good book? Read Harnack's History of the First 300 Years of Christianity. And all the way through, you keep getting the message that the believers had an impact those first 300 years because of their radical lifestyle. Because the way in which they worked and served their employers, or their masters for those who were slaves. That's why they had such an impact. That's why they were leading their masters to Christ. They're hard workers. Radically different. And that'd be unique today. Oh, that'd be unique today. One of the fellows I worked with in Texas was a school teacher. And he was involved in one of our campus ministries. And I asked him to get out of the campus ministry. Told him to go home and love his wife and quit fooling around on the base or the campus. To be a good school teacher. Be a very good school teacher. Pour your life into your wife in that school. Thought I was crazy. Thought I'd gone off my rocker. But he did it. And lo and behold, within a couple of months, he led the meanest kid in school to Christ in a high school. I mean a mean boy. It ended up that every night when he'd finish school, school would be over at 4:30, and there'd be kids lined up outside his classroom to counsel with him. Had a 14-year-old girl come to him who was pregnant. Now, how'd that happen? Oh, some of the boys got me drunk. How'd that happen? Where'd they get the booze? Well, there's a bootlegger down here who sells booze on the campus. Oh, there is a bootlegger down there. What would you do about something like that? Well, let's just pray for the bootlegger. Let's pray that God would gloriously save him and he'd quit peddling that poison on the campus. You could do that. You could nail the bootlegger, too. And that's what this guy decided to do. Nail the bootlegger. So he went down to the FBI and he talked to the FBI about it. And the FBI said, man, there's nothing we can do until we catch that bird handing it to a student. And then we'll get him. So my friend says, all right, we'll catch the bird handing it to a student. We went back to school and he got this young lady. And he says, now you get him to come to school and here's some money. And then they set it up. And the bootlegger come to school to sell her some booze. And they nailed him. And he had a chance to work with that young lady and help her. He had a chance to be the right arm of God for righteousness and justice. You violate the law, you ought to get nailed. There's a penalty for sin. We're supposed to be salt of the earth, aren't we? And one of the things salt does is hinder corruption. It may not eliminate corruption, but we should hinder it. Why in the world is there so much sin around us? And nobody does anything. You just sort of whistle and look the other way when the guy next to you is sinning, stealing, robbing his employer. On and on. We let it go. We cease to be the salt of the earth. And Jesus said, if the salt has lost its savor, what do you do with it? You throw it out and you walk on it. That's why we're losing our impact. Our lives are supposed to be radically different. If our lives are radically different, then the other way we proclaim the message is by our lip. By our life and by our lip. Because somebody is going to ask you, what is it with you, man? What is it with you? And then the scriptures say, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you, a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You don't leap down his throat with it. With meekness and fear, you share with him or her what happened. How Jesus Christ has given you new life. Why you're different. And you can't say, oh, you know, like Moses, I'm slow of speech and tongue. He just won't buy it. And you can't say, well, I don't have a theological education. I don't know all that stuff. If you can read and you have a Bible, you got all you need. So also spend time in the Word. And then just share with them what Jesus Christ has done for you. By life and by lip, we proclaim the message. And God promises that good seed will grow and bring forth fruit. Good seed will grow. The sower went out and sowed seed. And he sowed it all over. He didn't just sow the seed on the campus, on the military base. He sowed it in the Department of Agriculture. He sowed it, you know, all over this place. And the seed will grow, and the seed will bring forth fruit. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of itself. First the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. So our message is that Jesus has conquered death. He's forgiven us of our sins and removed the guilt. He's given us freedom. And He's given us an eternal purpose. And we proclaim that by life and by lip. That's really exciting. Tonight I want to talk to you about the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. So you can pray for that. You can pray for the offering project. And you can pray for me. One of the hardest things for me to do is to get up here and talk. It scares me to death. I've literally got up here before and my mind's gone blank. Remember, I was singing one time and my mind went blank. Halfway through the song, I went... Well, that scared me to death. So you can pray for me, and I'll pray for you, that your hearts will be tender. That they will be sensitive to the Word of God, and that you'll hear the Word of God, hear the voice of God. And that you'll say, Lord, and that you'll not say no. Now let's pray. Lord, thank you again for this time together, and thank you for your presence. You said that where two or three were gathered together in your name, you would be there in the midst of them. And we're so grateful for that. And we're grateful for the teaching ministry of the Spirit of God as He instructs each one of us. God, we want to be sensitive students. We want to be available. We want to have ears that hear. We want to have wills that respond. We want Jesus Christ to be glorified. Father, I pray especially for that special session in Indiana with Lorne and Harv and Dave and the rest of those men as they spend time with Mr. Sanny. Pray that you'd bless their fellowship. That would be a rich time of fellowship together. Pray for safety also as they travel forth and back. And God, then for the remainder of our time today, we commit it to you. We desire to see Christ glorified. We thank you again for the life we have because of Him. We thank you that we have no fear of death, that we can rejoice in the forgiveness of sin and the cancellation of all that guilt. For the freedom that's ours because of Jesus Christ and for our new purpose to life. And so we commit ourselves to you in His name. Amen. Am I bashing you, a good one, to get my attention? Man, I'd rather have a walk with the Lord where all you had to do was whisper to me and I'd respond. He says He'll guide us with His eye. We're supposed to fasten our eyes upon Him so that He just sort of nods. And we would respond. I train my children so that when we're out and we're having a meal with someone and they want to know how to respond, I say, kids, all you got to do is look at me. Just look at me. And my eye will always be on you. And I'll go. Or I'll go. And you'll know. I'll guide you with my eye. That's the way God wants to guide you and me, with His eye. So watch me. Keep your eyes on me when we're out somewhere. Well, the Lord wants to guide you and me through His Word and through other believers who are walking with Him in the Word. And He'll guide us with His eye. What we've got to do is look at Him. What we've got to do is listen to Him. So hopefully, you know, we're going to have tender hearts this weekend and hear the voice of God. Well, let's have a word of prayer.
Lord, we are grateful to be here. We really are. And Lord, I thank you for the privilege of just sharing with this gang. And I pray that you would use us in one another's lives. We're here by divine appointment, Lord, and you've kept us to this point. And maybe you've got years and years and years for each of us, or maybe you're going to return tomorrow. But in any case, Lord, we want to walk with you. We want to know Jesus Christ. We want our lives to be conformed to His. And wherever we are, we want to radiate Him. Oh, Lord, we want our lives to show forth the glory of God. We want our lives as lived here on this planet to blow the mind of the devil. And we know to have that, we've got to have tender hearts. We have to hear your voice. So, Lord, we pray that you'd instruct us while we sleep as you've removed us from our purpose. Instruct us when we rise to meet you in our devotions or in our time with one another throughout the day. Our workshops, the discussion groups. Just as we sit alone, Lord, and reflect and meditate. We're so grateful for Christ. And God, I would pray especially that if there's somebody here, or if there are a number here, who are not yielded to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in their lives, I pray you'd make them restless and miserable. God, give them a wretched weekend. I pray, Lord, you'd hold their nose to the grindstone until they yield to Christ. Oh, give them no peace, Lord. We're supposed to demonstrate the reality of Jesus Christ here, and we can only do that as we yield to the Lordship of Him. So we commit the evening to you, our fellowship afterwards. Thank you again for Christ. Amen. Thank you.
To the passage for Saturday morning and Sunday morning. In fact, this passage of Scripture, Philippians 1, verses 1 to 11, will be the basis of your discussion group Saturday afternoon. So we would like for you to read over that passage and meditate on it. Use that as a basis of your quiet time tomorrow morning. And if you've never had your quiet time with another person, or there are a lot of people here that you don't normally see, and boy, that's a tremendous way to fellowship with another person and to deepen your relationship. Share your time with Jesus, with that person. And so just meet together, grab a cup of coffee in the morning if you like, before your quiet time, and you know, meet in somebody's room or outside or in the lobby somewhere, perhaps even over in this room, and spend the time in the Word and prayer together. Thirdly, you get an information sheet which carries through in our theme, take root downward, grow upward, and go on with Christ. And we really appreciate the banner that Roy Fulbright and the gang over there at Pentagon Area made. And so here's your information sheet, which has your schedule on here. And